Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by Luna Webb, this is show number 27, April 15, 2010. Number 27, and here I am, Dave Barger.
Elizabeth Kawine.
Ansley Phones.
Hey, what's going on over there, Phones?
Just recording the podcast, Dave.
Well, speaking of phones, first, what are we going to talk about this time? We're going to talk about a little bit of Google, a little bit of
Facebook, a little Twitter,
a little Foursquare.
Yeah, I get that out of cover. Maybe some Stubble if we have time.
That's on you.
So on the phone thing, it just kind of goes naturally at first. So tell us what's up with the new bit with the phones.
So Verizon and Microsoft have rolled out a new line of phones. There's the KIN 1, that's K-I-N, 1 and 2. I saw some quotes on the prices, maybe going to roll out at like $30 and $80. So they're going to be just a slight upgrade from, you know, the default phone that comes with a two-year contract. And they've got Facebook and Twitter streaming on the front. And so they're marketing them at, you know, the younger generation who wants those updates constantly. But I mean, I don't think they're going to catch on except for people with that limited budget, because they don't offer any access to third-party apps. So you have to use their Facebook application that they've designed for the phone, their Twitter. You know, there's no variety in your options there.
A lot of app love out there right now. You know, and that's for application, not necessarily for Apple, because Apple's a little busy, you know, upsetting people. Kind of, you know, being really strict with their application development. In fact, they yanked the carpet out from folks who were not using their C++ programming languages. Instead of, they were using some kind of converters. And they said, no, we're not going to take that anymore. And so that just completely blows some people out of the water. And speaking of that, people launching their development community up in arms. You've got Twitter, who has got their development community all upset and trying to have secret meetings to figure out how they're going to take down Twitter and come up with a new Twitter on their own, because Twitter's bought Tweety here in the last week or so, and that was one of them. And so now they're competing with them, and they don't like it. But anyway, there's a lot going on.
Everyone's very upset, it sounds like.
These guys, they get out there, they had initial funding, and now they got to make money, and so they're out there doing things to make money, and that involves stepping on a few toes, evidently. And, so there's a lot to shake out there. Who else is, like, rattling the cages of anybody here?
I don't know, I mean...
All the rest is good news?
Facebook has some security center situation happening, but it sounds like a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing.
Yeah, I went to find the safety center. Basically, you scroll down to the bottom to those little links that nobody ever clicks on, that, you know, the about, the FAQs. It's not even under the My Account tab, and you've got, you know, I'm a parent concerned about safety, or I'm a law enforcement or education, or I'm a teen worried about security, and it just links you to a different version of the FAQ page.
Sounds like Facebook saying, I'm a doofus, and I'm gonna check this off my list in case somebody says, oh, hey, you never did anything about safety and stuff. And they're going to say, look, we put this whole new section out there about safety, and they're ridiculous little FAQs that nobody's going to read. But we did it because we're concerned. That's how it kind of struck me.
You know, I think ultimately getting on Facebook is like driving through a bad part of town, okay? If you don't act stupid and do something crazy, you'll be fine. I mean, I just think, okay, think about the logic behind that, right? So it's like people get scared, you know, in a certain part of town, right? Oh, we're going to get mugged. Well, maybe if you don't act like an idiot, nothing bad will happen to you. And that is my philosophy on Facebook, too. Maybe if you don't act like an idiot, nothing bad will happen to you.
Right.
Maybe if you keep information private that you feel should be private, then you'll be okay,
You know, and to take your driving through the bad side of town analogy a little bit further, sometimes, you ever notice, like, when you go to other cities, you may not know you're in the bad side of town.
No.
And so that's the same kind of thing with Facebook. You may not know that you've got, you know, you think you might have secure, and because it's so convoluted with the security settings. And it's great that they have them, but they're not very user-friendly, and they're changing terminology and stuff. You know, it's almost like a, what was that deal? What was that story where, you know, the big man, you know, God, people start speaking different languages so that they couldn't communicate anymore and then cause mass
Tower
confusion.
Tower of Babel?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, thank you. It's that kind of thing going on. And that's what Facebook's doing. They're changing languages and whatnot on people. Anyway.
Ridiculous.
That's, yeah. So a lot to go on that one. Be careful. Don't drive through the bad side of town.
True. You know? True story. Or if you do, just don't act like a crazy person.
As far as I know, I don't even think they came out with like a little announcement at the top of your homepage for the first time you've signed on to Facebook to let you even know that they've introduced the security
That's a good
center.
Point,
like
Ainsley.
They did almost every other update they do.
That's probably because they're a little embarrassed of what they think they've done. They just want something to put in front of a judge someday. All right. So hey, what was this Google Fiber? Looks like they're going to make a decision by the end of 2010.
That is redonkulous. I don't even have a comment on that other than redonkulous.
Have you guys heard of any, is there the criteria that they're going to use or anything or how loud the people cry for it or beg or pray?
I want to believe at Memphis that the amount of talking on the internet that you do about this is going to make a difference. But unfortunately, in my gut, I do not believe that. I don't think that the amount of voting or hollering on Twitter or anything has jack to do with their ultimate decision.
So if we all three of us chime in and we start doing Google Fiber, Google Fiber, Google Fiber, it's not going to up our opportunity.
No, I really don't think so. Yeah. That's just me. I'm not basing that in any facts, but my gut tells me that it doesn't matter.
Wow.
I think that they have to discuss with city planners, and there's a lot to go through before they can say that we can put this system in here.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually think that Memphis is a good candidate for it because of MLGW, because our utilities are all under one company, so there's less groups for them to negotiate with.
I think Memphis is a good candidate, but, you know, God bless you for having faith in the internet. I just think that, you know, nobody's ever up to any good. And so I just don't think it's that. I don't think it's that straightforward. And, you know, let's string it out to the end of 2010, and then everybody be still talking about Google Fiber for a full year, and nobody will ever shut up about it. And everyone will be coming to our website and clicking on our ads and trying to worship us because they want our high-speed fiber optic internet service. And frankly, because I just don't trust anybody anymore. Mm. Everybody's got an ulterior motive.
Wait, I thought it was only the middle-aged folks that we were the ones that were all skeptical about everything.
No.
So, hey, not to belabor too much on that, because we've got Chris Chastain.
That's right.
Yeah.
Stopped by to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. And so let's break over to Chris.
Our guest this week is Chris Chastain. He is the executive director of the Crittenden Regional Hospital Foundation. Welcome to the expedition.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So you kind of do a little daily expedition over the river, I guess.
Huh? Yes, every day. Nice. More coffee.
I imagine a lot of people from West Memphis that head over to Memphis, and you pass them across the bridge.
There's quite a few people on the other side of the bridge each time I'm going. I'm missing a lot of the traffic. Mm-hmm. So it's all right.
So tell us about the place where you work. What happens there?
Well, it's a hospital, so we take care of people. We are a small hospital. I don't know that I would consider us a rural hospital, but a community hospital.
Okay.
The majority of people that we see are from Crittenden County and the surrounding seven counties in Arkansas. We do see a fair number of people from Shelby County who actually come across the river that way to get care. I like to brag about our ER wait times, but they're significantly lower than a lot of other hospitals here in Memphis, but I won't get into that. So that's basically what it is.
Okay. Wow, I had no idea. So you see people from Tennessee over in Arkansas.
Sure.
Because I think I've heard some things here recently about issues with people coming over from Arkansas over in the Tennessee and you know, tax bases and this kind of thing. So yeah, you're more welcoming.
Why not?
Okay. And so there's a foundation. You're in charge of making sure that this foundation doing good things and helping out the community there?
It's the foundation directly benefits the hospital. The hospital is a nonprofit hospital. We opened our doors in 1951 and got our nonprofit status officially in 1953, which means that we could take donations and people could write off that money, those donations as tax write-offs. But it also just, not to make it a lesson in nonprofits, but it just means that the hospital has a different tax basis than a normal corporation does.
Okay.
The foundation does. It's there to benefit the hospital and its patients and our employees and ultimately the community.
And somewhere in all this, you're using some social tools.
I have started to, yes.
Okay. And is that still unusual for, you know, a medical-related organization to be out there in the social sphere?
It's a little unusual for a hospital our size, and certainly a foundation our size. We have a very big office. It's just me. I'm kidding. so anything that comes out of the foundation is for me, and you you can see if you get on Twitter and even on Facebook and search for hospitals and nonprofit hospitals, there are quite a few other hospitals and foundations that do use social media, and they do it well. Mm-hmm. Right now, a lot of the things that I do on Twitter, a lot of listening, and I'm just seeing kind of the information that those people put out, what they talk about, what they don't talk about. If it's the majority of it, honestly, is they pass along articles to people, and so there's not a lot of room or room for interaction and conversation. It's just they're giving information out to the people that may or may not follow them.
And when you say there's not a lot of room for that, is that due to the regulatory nature of medicine, or is just nature of a foundation, period?
I don't know. I think that they're just trying to be there and have a presence with their followers, and that they're doing something. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's bad, but I don't know really what it accomplishes.
Okay.
So right now I'm just listening on Twitter. Facebook is different. I'm interacting a little bit with employees and people in the community a little more.
Mm-hmm. Is that using the fan page?
Yes.
Now, we talked about the whole, Facebook going from the fan, they're going to start calling them, saying like. I think we're going to call them like pages.
It would fit more with the demographic, perhaps, mm-hmm. that largely uses Facebook. Just to call everything like. Like, and then we'll like some more, and
yes.
Peppers all the sentences anyway.
I'm still one of those people that thinks you need a don't like button.
I agree.
So, the fan page... And not a cause. I mean, I guess would a cause be an option for you guys? I mean, does that fit or it doesn't fit or?
It would. I don't know that that's my audience. I don't know that it would do any good for me to be a cause and to go down that road and to exert that energy and put the effort into that. I don't think that's who my audience is.
Okay. So who is the audience?
mainly employees right now.
Okay.
That's really who I've been focused on. We have an intranet that mm-hmm. that really does a great job getting the information, getting news out to people.
Yeah.
It's a little one-sided. It has been, but I think that it's fantastic at what it does.
Mm-hmm.
People check it. They know what's going on.
Sure.
And it has slowly started getting people to my website
mm-hmm.
And then also to Facebook. So it's kind of an amalgam of the ways that they get to me. If you Google Analytics, of course, is good at kind of tracing how people get where,
mm-hmm.
And that's been really helpful.
Because I guess as a foundation, you're kind of separate in a way from, I guess, the normal employee, so to speak, that crowd there.
It is. We certainly try to be a voice for the employees because it's the hospital that's who's there, and we want the foundation to be something that the employees are proud of, so we want them to have a say so in what happens.
Yeah.
And using social media has started to help start get that conversation coming our way instead of always out to here's what the foundation's doing.
Wonderful.
We started getting some really good feedback from employees.
That's awesome.
Community-wide, it's still slow, and mm-hmm. it's going to be slow. I think that it'll be a little while before we really get a lot of people. I don't think that our audience is necessarily on the computer checking in online. They're not making donations online. They're really getting on. If they go to my website, they email me, which is, to me, fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's really my goal. I would love it if people were donating over the internet, but my audience, my donors, the people that I want to reach out to, I would rather sit down with them over coffee. Mm-hmm. That would be better than a credit card gift online.
Okay. So I imagine you find that the audience out there, the people there, that and their indulgence and adoption of social media is different in Memphis, in the city. The reason I say that is I've had an opportunity to go out and talk about social type things, even just today, out in Somerville. And the adoption is much less than what I find talking to professional organizations in Memphis. But at the same time, it's like the small town mindset, they're used to doing business with the handshake and sitting over a cup of coffee and that kind of thing. So it's much more conversational. And it sounds like that's what you're saying there over in Crittenden County and the surrounding areas.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. There's not to get too far away from maybe what we're going for, but if you go to CrittendenCountyArkansas.com, I believe that's the website. if you go there, they have set up a small Facebook-like application there also, where people that are just there in Crittenden County mm-hmm. have come, and it's starting to grow a little bit, and they're getting a little, they're getting some action, and there's some feedback going both ways. It's been really interesting to watch that grow. I think it's going to accomplish exactly what they want to, because it has a lot of the same features as Facebook as far as being able to friend somebody or being able to do this or do that, but start conversations with people that live across town from you. So it's mm-hmm. a real, I mean, so you already know that person. I've been watching that pretty close.
Okay.
See where that goes.
Well, we'll make sure we get that URL into the show notes.
Okay.
And so this is its own little social network there for the community.
It is.
They're not even using Facebook. They're using their own.
You can actually use your Facebook login. So nice. You can, I mean, it's pretty neat. It's okay. pretty neat.
And they let you in, even though, you know, you're.
I had to say I was somebody else. Sorry.
So on the social components inside the intranet that you guys have, how are you guys taking advantage of that? Because I'd love to hear about it, because there's so much talk right now about, you know, using social tools for marketing and PR. So anybody that has something to talk about internal to an organization, yeah, we're all ears. You know?
I think that one of the things that we've been able to do, it is still a little, if stagnant's the right word, there's not a lot of back and forth. I mean, we post things and they can email us back, or there's a little bit of being able to drive people to Facebook to make some comments. So there's a little couple of steps that people might have to take. But the thing that I've tried to do is to make it easier for them to email me, since they're already at the computer, to just a click of a button to be able to do that. There's mm-hmm. There's nothing in there right now that actually has comments, but it's very obvious that they're taking that content and reading it and formulating some sort of opinion one way or the other on it, and participating in some of the questions maybe that I've asked,
okay.
or submitting pictures or surveys, things like that. Mm-hmm. Not everybody in the institution has an email address, so that's where they go to get their news. Maybe good or bad that they don't all have an email address, but the fact is that most people are going to the intranet to get some information, and it's been good to get those subjects out that we want to be able to talk about, and people are starting to respond a little more.
Are these all developed within the organization, or are these some off-the-shelf type application that you guys are using that, you know, our listeners might be familiar with?
Our intranet?
Mm-hmm.
It was developed for the hospital.
Okay. All right. So what are some of the things that you'd like to share about what's going on there at the hospital in the social sphere?
Well, I think that one of the biggest things that I've found that I think is important to share, because a lot of people seem to ask me, being nonprofit and with the hospital, is that they're really worried about how many visitors they have to their website every month, and that it's not really high. And I don't think that that's important. That's not a huge goal of mine. My biggest thing is that if I've got X amount of new visitors every month, I can look and see that anywhere from 55 to 60% of those people are actually emailing me. So I'm making that contact with them. Again, it'd be great if they were giving me a credit card and paying for, you know, making a donation. But I think that it's more important, and the point for me and my goal is that I'm making a personal connection with that person. It just happened to be through the web.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important, that you don't necessarily have to have huge numbers as long as you're making quality contacts with people.
I got you. Great, great point. So are you still putting those numbers together for somebody or yourself, just kind of watching them? You're just not giving them a lot of value? Is that...
I really just look at how many people I'm making personal contacts with.
Oh, great.
We have spikes, obviously. If I send out a tweet about something, there could be a spike for something. Same with our Facebook page. We still get, you know, 7 to 10 fans a week, which to me is fantastic, because I probably know all those people. Or... I'm going to know them very soon.
Yeah.
So it's real people. They're not inflated numbers. So I really have a good handle on who those people are, what they want, because they talk back and forth and will engage with me.
Do you ultimately connect with them on Facebook or some other social networking platform? That's as Chris Chastain and not necessarily the executive director of the foundation.
I'm not sure what you mean.
So let's say, you know, somebody emails you, and so you get this dialogue going back and forth. Do you ultimately say, hey, you want a friend up over on Facebook?
No. If they're not my fan on Facebook, that's fine. If I've got their email address, or I've got a phone number, or
mm-hmm.
a coffee date or lunch date, that's just as good to me.
Okay. Great. What other key kinds of things about in the social things would you like to share here?
I think it's kind of, we talked about it a little bit this morning with Rod Kirby at the breakfast, is setting some guidelines and having some guides, some fence posts that you have to stay in and say, okay, I want to be able to have this, this, and this, or these numbers on your website, but it's not the end all be all if you don't get 1,000 people a day. As long as you've got some real attainable and descriptive goals, I think, especially with a nonprofit, I can certainly appreciate that, maybe wanting to be on TV or maybe wanting to have your blog picked up by Mashable or by Best Blog or however that works. But the biggest thing for me is to say, I want to be able to have a news and events section that we update at least twice a week and have a calendar and be able to put up 50 pictures every quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think after that, people are going to be talking about those things, and it's something you can do. And it's important because people always like to look at pictures, especially if they know each other. Right. So, I
like the question or your contribution there this morning about putting an email dialogue up online after getting the permission from the person that sent it.
Well, it was a tough situation, and it really was something that I wanted to make sure that other people knew, this really happened.
Yeah.
And it's an issue, and we dealt with it, and this is how we dealt with it. And being a nonprofit these days, you have to be transparent.
Okay. So how do we connect with you online?
Well, with the foundation, is we're on Twitter at CRH Foundation. We are also on Facebook at CRH Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
With me personally, I'm on Twitter at CE Chastain, and same with, I believe, at Facebook. C.E. Chastain.
Which one are you on more often, yourself?
I've split time on both of them. Mostly Facebook. I do a lot of Foursquare, and that's actually been pretty powerful. And I think that outside of my professional hat, I think that there's a lot of power to that. Mm-hmm. I would love to get more people in West Memphis involved with that, but I don't know how that'll take. But those are the places, and of course, foundation.crittendenregional.org.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us again today, in addition to seeing you at the breakfast this morning.
Thanks for having me.
There's a nice webinar going on tomorrow here. It's at noon about social CRM, put on by the folks at Altimeters. So
okay.
It might be something, it might fit into that whole intranet thing.
Fantastic.
All right. So, hey, did we talk about Tribe Camp with Chris?
I think we did a little bit.
I surely hope he can make it out there. Yeah, he's definitely part of the whole Launch Memphis community. And speaking of Tribe Camp, that's coming up in, next Saturday.
Yeah.
April 24th.
Less than 2 weeks.
Over at the Memphis Academy of Science and Engineering.
That's right.
From 8 to 4-ish, maybe 5, if you're hanging around, helping us, finish off the cupcakes that we're going to be getting over from Gigi's.
Hello, Gigi's Cupcakes.
I was just checking out the lineup of speakers. It's looking really nice.
It is filling out.
Good topics,
yeah.
Including... Elizabeth, you're speaking.
I am going to be speaking, so you're going to want to be there. I might say something funny. You just never know.
And so you are going to be on a solo presentation.
Yes.
We're going to have some panels, and then we're also going to have these things that are core conversations, which are like roundtable discussions. I'll be leading one of those off. And so we've got the topics are, Web 2.0 centric, as well as talking about tribes. And if you go take a look at the tribecamp.com and click on the topics/schedule tab, you'll see a lot of them have to deal with tribes this time. So that is great. And so we want to have that as well as talk about professional relationships. So in that, it's going to be a very interesting day. And it's all seems to be evolving right here close to in typical Memphis style, right here in the last few days before it happens.
Absolutely.
So, which makes it very tough to plan. But
if you register before 11:59 p.m. on Friday, you will actually get an extra entry into our drawing that we're doing for an iPad. And we have the iPad. It is here in our office. I have touched it. It is real. This is not a drill. So if you want an extra entry to win that thing, you need to hurry up and get registered now before the clock strikes midnight.
It is so pretty.
Any of you are wondering, because I definitely was, there's no strings attached to that iPad. So it's not like you have to go take out a contract with AT&T or something. It just works off the wireless. So check that out. We want you to register. If you have been to the previous bar camp or social camps before, use the registration code CAMPVET and save big, about 50%. So if you get that done here before Friday night, 1 minute before midnight.
That's right.
Which I've learned in the last few days, Friday night midnight will actually be Saturday morning.
I just wouldn't have shared that with everybody.
Well,
babe.
I gotta expose a little bit of vulnerability in my ignorance. So anyway.
Am I wrong, right, or is there a event the evening before as well?
There is, absolutely. Over at
South of Beale.
SOB.
We're going to have some grub provided by our friends at South of Beale. So, and they have fantastic gastro pub esque food over there. So, you want to come out and get some grub. It's going to be from 5 to 7, happy hour type deal, drink specials. It's going to be good times.
So, we'll have a unique opportunity to blur those professional lines before we discuss them the next day.
They've already been blurred. It's sorry. Yeah. They're smeared all over the place. All right. So the other thing is big news out there right now is Twitter. You know, of course, they just a couple days ago launched their new ad platform, and so you can check it out if you go to search.twitter.com or if over in the search bar in the right hand side if you're using their application, and search for coffee and you'll see a Starbucks ad come up. And so I think that we'll see initially a lot of really inflated numbers as people try and summon these ads intentionally,
right?
But they're ultimately going to make their way into your feed. There's no doubt going to be plenty of people who are going to be totally up in arms with they've got to wade through these ads every now and again, and and that is, they just won't see them anymore.
You know, the thing is, though, you know, it's like I already choose to follow a lot of, you know, retail outlets or companies on Twitter, and essentially they're advertising to me every time they tweet, and I'm choosing to receive that message, and Twitter had to figure out a way to make a buck eventually.
And if those companies go out there and they get the big voice, bam. They're going down. They're going to get unfollowed, you know,
right out
of your stream.
Exactly. It's your choice to follow them or not, just like on Facebook.
With the link, when you search coffee and it brings up an ad for Starbucks, when you click on that link, does it link to their website or does it link to their Twitter feed?
I didn't click on it.
Okay.
I just wanted to see the ad. I didn't care about their website.
If it was like inner Twitter ads, because I mean, Starbucks has a great Twitter account. They tweet all the time.
Link to a tweet. I don't know about that.
I'm sure they'd want you going to their website.
Somebody's
going to
try it.
Although with Starbucks, they want you going to the store. So really, their website, their Twitter account, it's the same, because they need your butt in a seat in the store drinking a cup of coffee.
No matter what time of the morning it is.
No.
You know. And so that kind of reminds me, the other day I was looking at this social conference coming up somewhere in the U.S., and they had photos of all the social speakers on there. And six out of the 11 men speakers had the whole 5 o'clock shadow thing going on, which that was big back in Miami Vice days.
Yes.
Yeah. And so
John
I see
Johnson.
It, yeah, it's still kind of, it's kind of.
Scrunch the sleeves.
Maybe that's made it full circle and it's caught back on again, and that's the thing to do now.
No.
No? Okay. You know.
That's my official answer.
Negative.
No.
It's really easy for me to shave these days because when I don't, I see a lot of white hairs that I didn't used to see before.
No.
So I'm very motivated to be clean shaven.
It's a distinguished look, though.
Well, I think that's gonna wrap things up. What else do we have coming up? Don't forget to go to Tribe Camp. If you don't know what it is, give us a call. Hey, at 901-866-3580, and we'll explain it to you.
Call me.
Yeah.
Yay.
If you're not available, I'll help explain. You know.
Absolutely. You come to Tribe Camp. Of course, we have our breakfast every month, so you do want to keep up to date on that at socialexpedition.com. That'll be coming out the first week in May, so definitely keep posted on that.
All right. Well, so we'll talk to you next weekish.
Sounds good.
All right.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.